Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, start it again. Hallelujah. Louder. Hallelujah. Louder. Hallelujah. That's how we'll be saying hallelujah in church now. Louder. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it was the Yoluwa that was commandant when I learned that. After I left NYSC, it was the next commandant that taught me that. He called his parade. He said, parade people, three attitudes, louder. So if you think that you are not eating, go and take water or tea. Every time you come on Sunday, just know that we will say louder. Whether you are saying it loud or not, we will not be saying it. That's what you have caused for us this year. Amen. So we'll be talking about Romans 15 verse 4, and then we'll be doing louder. Abi, so that's two things. Always remind me. If I don't say it, please remind me. Hallelujah. Amen. But we thank God for his mercies. Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. Hallelujah. So anything that we open the scriptures, anytime we open the scriptures and we see a story, it is not just a story. Hallelujah. It's a story that's supposed to give us that patience and give us that hope that, you know what, if this has happened before, it will happen again. Amen. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, and day and night shall not cease. These are the words of God. And he said it to Noah, right? So seed time and harvest will not cease. And I think you need to understand one thing, that as long as it is a principle of God, okay, no matter who is making use of that principle, it will always give you results. Hallelujah. Okay? So there's something that we call, that is called ground state in chemistry. Ground state. That's the natural state, the normal state. That's the ground state. So this is the ground state, that the principle of God, no matter who is making use of God's principle, okay, God's principle is God's principle. It will not fail because it's God's principle. So if somebody decides and says it's seed time, and then he takes his seed, and then he sows his seed, okay, and then he nurtures his seed, okay, harvest is going to happen. Hallelujah. Mind you, I said, he sows his seed, and he nurtures his seed. Hallelujah. What has been promised is that seed time and harvest will not cease. Amen. But there is an action that is required from you and I. Okay? That, you know, it's just like when our mothers are pregnant. Okay? It's not just for them to be pregnant. Okay? Then we understand by experience and by learning by the books, okay? So some people have learned by the books, and then some people have learned by experience, that once a woman is pregnant, there are certain activities, and certain things she needs to do so that she can nurture the fetus in her womb. Hallelujah. Abi, it is fetus. It is sperma. Sperma said baby in the womb. It's fetus, it's biological name. That's what I'm asking. Is it fetus, they call it? That's what I'm asking now. See, Mr. Sajiri. This is Mr. Sajiri. We're sitting at the back. Thank you very much. So he's trying to let me. So he's telling me that it's the baby in the womb. Okay. So the baby in the womb starts as very tiny. It starts from the egg that we call, is it zygote? They call it. Okay. And then it begins to grow, and then it becomes a baby. But then the mother needs to do certain things. Mother must watch what she eats, watch where she goes. And she just cannot behave anyhow when carrying that seed. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember something. So sometimes when they say when they give birth, they mold the head. I look at my head and tell Lulu, I said, they didn't mold anything for this boy. Amen. Because when he came out, his head was just like my head. They didn't mold it. I said, I better don't touch his head. Hallelujah. Because when you look at fathers, parents and their husbands, you look at this, look alike. So why are they coming with all these stories that they tell us that they mold something? No. Hallelujah. It says, seed time and harvest will remain. Okay? So your seed in your hand, okay, is useless. Till you dig it in the ground, it dies, and then it rises again. Hallelujah. Amen. And while it's rising, or while you are digging it in the ground or in the soil, you must make sure that the conditions around that seed are conditions that will make it to germinate. Hallelujah. So it's not every condition, it's not every seed that you give, that you plant in every place. Okay? So some seeds don't require so much water. Some require much water. The kind of soil they require is different. So when we were in school, we used to do different kinds of experiments. Some you starve a particular soil, you starve it of magnesium. Another one, you starve it of this one, just to see what will happen. So when you see yellow leaf, you say there's no problem. There's a problem. Okay, because that plant is being deprived of a certain kind of, mineral that it requires. Hallelujah. And then the harvest you get is dependent on the quality of your seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The harvest you get is dependent on the quality of your seed. Now, seed time and harvest. Like the other day, last Sunday, we were looking at iron sharpens iron. And I was telling you that because iron sharpens iron, it doesn't exactly mean that it's a good thing in its entirety. Okay? So if your iron is a bad iron and you're sharpening another bad iron, you make that bad iron worse. So if somebody is already, if somebody is already has bad inclinations or bad intentions, okay, is full of animosity, is always on the offensive, okay, and the person comes to you and he tells you something in that direction, and you say, yeah, so you need to deal with that person. Now that person is going to go back. Now you only say you need to deal with that person. That person will go back and expand that deal. Eh? And that deal, when he finishes, you say, I do not. like when people make crack jokes and say, I think you've seen it before, when the devil told one girl that, tell your father that the school fees is 100,000. Meanwhile, the school fees is 50,000. Then the girl said, daddy, the school fees is 500,000. The devil say, ha. Have you seen that thing before? Exactly. Iron sharpens iron. It's the same thing with seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. And that's why I said the quality of your seed determines your harvest. Hallelujah. If you sow anything that is bad, hallelujah, you will reap that harvest of something that is bad. Amen. So when we are praying, we say, God, every seed time and harvest, and then you are doing bad thing. There's an harvest too. I have reminded God that there's harvest. Amen. You have to be careful. This is not saying that, harvest is good, Abby. But what does harvest mean? That means that seed that you have planted will bear fruit. Hallelujah. And when it bears fruit, grass cutter is not going to enter the field to eat it. You carry the harvest. Carry it and bountifully you carry it. Okay, so you need to watch what you're sowing. Mark chapter 4. In fact, we need not go as far as Mark chapter 4. This morning, we read Matthew 18, that's what we read. And verse 35. He says, so my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I mean, if you go to the verses before that, he's saying that if you do anything evil to your brother, then God is not going to forgive you. And then you reap. I mean, that means you are reaping what you have sowed. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 from verse from verse 2. It says, then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But, okay, so it means that these three kinds of seeds that he was talking about, he said one fell by the wayside, the other one was stifled, he had no death, and then he died off, and this one fell along thorns, and then he was stifled. It says, but, and said man has told us that when you see but, he tells you that there's a different story from what was coming. Okay, so in this but, he's saying that, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Verse 9. And he said, he who hears eyes, let him hear, let him hear. Verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But those who are outside, all things are come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. You know that understand this parable. How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Likewise, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, then, tribulation or persecution arises for word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. Hallelujah. Amen. Essentially, it is saying that when the word of God is spoken, okay, where it falls or how you receive it matters. Amen. Hallelujah. So how you receive the word of God matters. And in you receiving the word of God, it's because the word of God is supposed to produce something. Hallelujah. Amen. It's supposed to produce something that is everlasting. That's why you receive the word of God. In John chapter 1, and in verse 4. It says, in him, okay, let's start from verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? I wish I had the board. You just write Word. Is it God to what? God. Is it stupid that said you used to put everything in an equation? Abi, am I right? Am I right? Down now. Louder. Then he said, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Amen. So the first one is that word is equal to God. And the second one is that life is equal to light of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And now we know, he said the word was with God, and the word was God. And that's in him, in that word of God, is light. Hallelujah. Which is the light of men. Amen. That means that the word of God gives light. Abi? That's what it means. Okay. So in Ephesians, in Psalm 119. This is why the Bible is interesting. So John has told us in a poetry kind of form that the word of God is light. Hallelujah. Amen. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 130, it says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. Amen. So when the word of God comes, okay, it gives light and understanding to the simple. In Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. You know that it's not every lamp that gives light. Abi? It's very simple and very technical. It's not every lamp that gives light. So if you look around now, you see some light points that there's no light in it. It's a lamp. It's not radiating any light. Okay? Now, the Bible is saying that the word of God is a lamp unto my what? Unto my feet. So it's like you tie lamp or torchlight on your feet. Hallelujah. But it's just not there for the fact that it's a lamp. Hallelujah. It says it gives illumination to your path. Meaning that the way to go in life, okay, is orchestrated and directed by the illumination from that lamp. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you want to go to the right or to the left, it is dependent on how good or how well your lamp is moving, taking you. So, you know, in those days, when I used to drive a very bad car, when you put on the headlamp at night, it's like the torchlight of your phone. Okay, so on the road, imagine you put on the lamp of your phone at night on the road, and that's what the headlamp of your car. You don't be squinting. You not be doing... performing, they're a very good driver. You know how you perform? I can see. It's a lie. You can't see. Because that lamp is not giving you what you want. Amen. It's not able to show that clear path for you. But it's not with the word of God. It says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. So if you need to make a pathway in the way that you know not, I think you give me that. I think we read it yesterday. You lead the blind in a way that they know not. In paths that they have known, I think it's in Exodus or Numbers, something. You guide them. If you need to know the way, hallelujah, then you have to have the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We were looking at the fact that Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, God spoke to them about the land. Hallelujah. It says, this land, you will surely return to it. Amen. And then they told generations, okay, so much so that when Joseph was dying in the land of Egypt, he told the people, say, look, I'm dying, okay, but God is surely going to visit us and he's going to take us back to the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, when God was going to introduce himself to Moses, and you know very well that Moses came after the Israelites had spent a lot of years in slavery, when he was going to introduce himself in Exodus chapter 3, he said, tell that, if I tell them that who sent me, said, I am who I am. And I said, what if they ask me the name of this I am that I am? He says, then you will tell them the God of their fathers, the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because those names ring a bell. And they have an understanding of how God dealt with those people in the Bible. So the children of Israel will look back and say, oh, this God that promised Isaac, he promised Jacob, he dealt well with Jacob. They can easily understand. And once God told Moses that, Moses himself did not ask any question again. Because when he was telling him, I am, he said, they will not be able to relate with I am. So who are you? And then he said, tell them the God of their fathers. Hallelujah. And then we looked at it that common promise to them was the fact that it was the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. And then we looked at in different instances where God promised the three of them and said, I'll bring you back to this land, which was the land of Canaan. In our own age and time, hallelujah, what he did to us and what he gave to us is that he gave us his only begotten son So if I'm going to tell you that God sent me to you, I will tell you that the one that gave his son so that you'll be saved, hallelujah, has sent me. Amen. And that's why we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, verse 2. He said, God in time past has spoken to us by the prophets, and in this time, in these last days, spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So I am not going to be telling you again that the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of Abraham, okay, because that dispensation has been dealt with. Amen. I am going to be talking to you about the fact that in these last days, he is speaking to us by his son. Amen. And what did Christ say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1, verse 1. We go back to, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everyone says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Amen. And his son is his word. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you will hear God, then you will look at his word. Amen. Because someone is saying, how will I know that Jesus is speaking to me? It's very simple. You need to just join all the dots together and you form a big picture. You remember that thing I told you about when we were growing up? That they will create an image, maybe the image of a teddy bear. But they will use dots all over the page. And then they will number it 1, 2, 5, 7, 9, 12. So you have to follow 1 to 2 to 3. And then when you begin to join the dots together, you will see what the artist was trying to create. Okay? The image is trying to bring. Hallelujah. Amen. If he has spoken to us by his son in these last days, his son is his word. Amen. And it says, that word was God. And says, in that word was life. Hallelujah. And that life became the light of men. Amen. So if anybody is going to have any direction in life, okay, he cannot do it outside the singular reference that we have in this present time, which is Jesus, the Word of God. I've explained to you, but it's not, today's not the day. I've explained to you the story of the garden, when they were sent out of the garden, and I explained to you what he spoke in Revelation concerning the way, okay? Hallelujah. And concerning the tree of life. We'll go back there again, but not today. Amen. So he says here that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. So if anything is not clear, if anything needs to be illuminated, it has to be by the word of God. Hallelujah. So what it means to me is that if I hold the word of God, it's not enough that I hold the word of God because it's a lamp. It needs to radiate light. You need to apply that word to the things around you. Hallelujah. To whatever situation that is around you that is causing there to be an uncertainty or darkness, in quote. Amen. Sorry. When you look at the different stories in the scriptures, James 5:11 comes to mind. It says, Job made out to see the end that God intended. Hallelujah. That he is merciful and is what? He's compassionate. Yeah, it says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Hallelujah. So when you are reading those stories in the scriptures, okay, that is like you're having a lamp with you. Amen. But it's not, they're not just stories. Okay, so I can tell you every story. What is in this story for me is the light to you. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if I tell you all the story, what's this man saying? Okay? Because you need to be able to point and say, look, this word of God that I have, this is how it is illuminating my life. Or this is the kind of light that is bringing to me right now. Amen. It says that in Ephesians chapter, I think it's chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1. And from verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. We give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You remember that story of Peter when Christ was talking to his disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" Okay? And then they said to him, "Oh, they say you are Elijah, they say you are this, and then you are that." And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Amen. Is that aspect of God that you see in his word that is speaking to you? And it's creating light for your path. Hallelujah. Everything that we are saying, all of us, we get different things at different times. We all get different things at the same time from the same word because it applies to different situations when it comes to us. So when he was talking to them, he said, "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter came and said, "You know what? Thou art Christ." Hallelujah. Amen. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the next thing says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Amen. "And I say to you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of it shall not prevail against it." Amen. And we have looked at this rock and said, the rock is revelation knowledge. Okay? Because he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It takes an understanding and a connection with the Spirit of God for you to understand that he is the Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and verse 18. It says, let's go to 17, sorry. It says that, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. When you go back to verse 17, it says that to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Knowledge. How does knowledge come to you? How does knowledge come? Eh? How does knowledge come? Yeah, now. How does knowledge come? So how do you know? How do you need to spell your name? Eh? Talk now. You learned it. How did you learn it? Okay, so you learned how to read and write. Okay. And then how do you now know when you look up, look back and you are looking at history? Okay. What helps you to understand history? So the knowledge that I have, how do I gain knowledge? Eh? Study what? You are too spiritual. how do you gain knowledge, generally? How do you gain knowledge? When you study, so what are you studying? Eh? So when you study books, what are you studying? What are you seeing? How is information packaged? Thank you. Information is packaged by a combination of words. When knowledge comes to you, it has to be by words. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you are studying, if you look at everything and study everything, you bring them down and you translate them to words. Okay? When I'm talking to you, it says in Habakkuk, I wait on my watch to see what he will say. to me. Hallelujah. It says there that to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Whether they are written words or spoken words, it has to be by words. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowledge, it comes by words. Even when you are looking at things and you are trying to figure out things, you will get to a point where you need to begin to say those things. And then you begin to plug the missing line. Amen. Hallelujah. Seed time and harvest will not cease. Okay? What you do with your seed and how much of quality your seed has is dependent on the word of God that is on the inside of you. We are not looking at the negative side. We want to look at the positive side. If you pick on God's word, okay, and you are not going to be nurturing it, there's going to be a problem. It will just be a lamp that is not radiating light. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why people, everybody will gather in the same room. Everybody will go for the same meeting. And men will leave that meeting venue with different experiences. Why? It's how much impact that word has had on them and how much of light has been revealed to them. In Ephesians 1:17, it says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, it says, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. Everybody knows that the eyes works with light. We don't know. Everybody. So the light, the eyes function with light. Hallelujah. So if your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, it will be that there is the light, okay, for your eyes to walk on. And that light, the Bible says, is the word of God. Hallelujah. That gives us life. We cannot disconnect ourselves from God's word. Amen. And if you are talking about harvest, we cannot disconnect ourselves from that seed. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 4 that seed that was being referred to is the seed that the sower sowed is the word of God. Hallelujah. And how people receive it, okay, how people receive it is what was coming out to become either is thorny or is bearing fruit. And you know what he told us in John chapter 15? He says, I'm the true vine. Hallelujah. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Hallelujah. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of his own unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, neither can you unless you abide in me. And if you will abide in him, then you are abiding in his word. Amen. So, when we do the declarations, we say the year 2025 is a year of harvest and is a year of continuous harvest. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that there will be no harvest if there's not a word. Amen. There will be no harvest if there is no seed time. Hallelujah. And it has to be that you are dealing with the word of God per time. Amen. Once you have any situation and you lay hold of God's word, hallelujah, amen, there will surely be an harvest for you. You know, Pastor Divine was saying that just yesterday the year started. And truly, it was just yesterday. Amen. And I told you there's one guy, he was joking. And then on the third, he said, yeah. I've made a mistake. Oh, let's start 2025 again. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, let's start 2025 again. You see, if you are in him, if you abide in him, you cannot make a mistake. If you abide. So these words that the English people use, they're very critical. If you abide, and if you look at the definition of abide, you stay. You live. You have everything about you in him. You can't make a mistake. You We're not going to be serving God on our own terms this year. Hallelujah. We're not serving God on our own terms. Amen. We are going to be serving God on God's terms. Amen. So that we will see, just like Job, we will see the end that God intends. The Bible says that God is good, and only He does wondrous things. Okay? So as the year progresses, things will happen. We will hear different words concerning the scriptures. Hallelujah. But we need to make use of those things that we hear. So if if Job had learned everything that God is good, and when a situation came about, he could not refer to the fact that he understood what God is, we would not have seen the end that is truly intended. That God truly turns around situations when things look bad. Hallelujah. Amen. Or he steps in when things look unheard of. If you look at, I think, the last chapter of the book of Job, okay? When Job's life would turn around was when he went to pray for his friend. In his own condition, he said he prayed for his friend, and then things began to happen. You know, we're saying this morning that if you do anything at all, be selfish when it comes to the scriptures. Yeah, thank you. He says, and God restored Job's losses when he prayed for himself. Indeed, when he prayed for his friends, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He didn't have, look, there was no reason, practically no reason for him to be praying for people in this condition. People should be praying for him. Abi? But God said, do this, and he did it. He prayed for his friend, and then he said he restored because of that. This morning we were reading, I said, look, if at all, you'll be selfish. Be selfish concerning the things that God has asked you to do, so that you see what he has asked that you will see. What you will see. So if he says you should pray for your enemy, pray for your enemy. It's not that your enemy will prosper and he will leave you. He said, by so doing, you will heap coals of fire on their head. He says, forgive. So that your heavenly Father can also forgive you. It's not that he can forgive you. So that that forgiveness that you receive from your Father, you can sustain it. That's the reason why you forgive other people. Otherwise, he will just change his mind and say, okay, since you are not forgiving, then go back to status quo. It's the red letter of Christ. It's not me that read it. It's Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. And it's very simple. The seed in your hand is the word of God. A time. Amen. I told you several times how I was preparing for my wedding. And Pastor BJ was my best man. And then he wrote, you will not be stranded. And then he put it in my Bible. That was December. Sometime in December. The wedding was in January. And then when I got home, I saw it. I said, you will not be stranded. And I looked at it. And at that point, he looked at on every side, I was stranded. That was what it looked like. And then I saw it and I smiled. And I left the thing. And I just went on my way. I said, I will not be stranded. Anytime any trouble wants to come to my head, I just remember the God. I said, I will not be stranded. God does not lie. Hallelujah. I didn't know what. I got married 19 years ago. And up to now, if there's any problem that will happen, I will remember I will not be stranded. And I said, God, so what am I going to do with I will not be stranded? You have to show me what to do. I know I will not be stranded. So what am I supposed to do? That's the light that he gives. The lamp, he says, the word of God is a lamp. Hallelujah. And that same word will give you light. Amen. Be that deliberate about your seed this year. Amen. Be that deliberate about your seed this year. And that seed is God's word. When it comes to you, hold on to it and let it illuminate your path. You know, he will tell you to do things that you don't like. He will tell you to do things that are bad. He will tell you to do things that you don't like. You know, so if you feel like slapping somebody, God's word will tell you not to slap that person. Abi? That's what you will do. That's what I expect. So, you know, so when you want to slap somebody and you say, the Spirit of God says, I slap that person, and you look twice. Say, is he really, the Spirit of God? Amen. Or if you want to do an eye for an eye, you know, an eye for an eye. Is that seed that you have. And there's a seed time. You have to spend quality time in God's presence. He will give you his word. Amen. And then he will give you what to do with that word. That word will be a lamp, and what you do with it is light. You cannot leave his presence empty-handed. Amen. Let people look at us and say, ha! They have seen you, and they've seen the end that God intended. Because anybody that adheres to his word, he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. God's word in your hand, God's word in your mouth, God's word in your heart, they are seeds. Hallelujah. Take the communion. It's for Sunday. And it's just God's word that we are reminding ourselves of. The very life of God flows on inside of us. Of our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Says, as long as we do this, as long as we take the communion, break the bread, and take the wine, says we remind ourselves of the work that he has done. Amen. The foundation he has laid for us. So that no longer do we return to the things of old. But we are encouraged that in Christ we derive our strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, but in the following, 1 Corinthians, say, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. His body was broken. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. His stripes on his broken body, anytime we remember it, he took away our infirmities, and he bore our diseases. Hallelujah. He says here that, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. And what is the Lord's death? There's salvation. Amen. There's deliverance. Hallelujah. And there's restoration and hope for man. Hallelujah. So that everyone that will identify with the death of Christ, okay, is restored to the original state the man is supposed to be. Let all eyes closed and all eyes bowed. Let's pray this morning. If you have anything at all to settle with Christ, it's an understanding that we have. And as we take these elements of the communion, indeed, our bodies cannot be inhabitants for diseases. But indeed, the very life of God flows on inside of God. As we remember the work that was done on the cross of Calvary, indeed, it keeps us alignment to that work. And we walk in the understanding and the light of the work that was done on the cross of Calvary. Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you because indeed, we remember your death and we proclaim it this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. As we take the broken body and as we take the wine, thank you, Lord, because every work, every promise that comes from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we step into it and we lay claim of it in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.